You are now listening to the Alpha Male Buddhist from Brooklyn podcast. I'm your host, Miguel. Today is July 3rd, 2025, and this is episode 231. And before we start, just as a side note, if you're enjoying the podcast, go back and listen to some of my archive episodes. I address a lot of different topics, from spirituality to growth to what it is to be a man and manhood itself. So go back and check out some of my older episodes, and let's get into the show. The title of today's episode is Escape Debt and Consumer Slavery and Chart Your Own Path to Self-Development. Today, the average person is living a life of gold-plated poverty. Many people are living out of their cars, eating frozen food from the dollar store, while many young men are checking and rechecking social media to see when the next release of Grand Theft Auto is going to be released so that they can spend endless hours mindlessly just, again, like that NPC pushing the shopping cart down the street type of existence. And after about 500 hours of dedicating themselves endlessly to this video game, they get like a gold star on next to their name, I guess. Now, don't get me wrong, if you're a guy that's out there getting it done, providing for your family, and really doing it out there, then it's fine. My son, as a matter of fact, he loves gaming, but he has everything down on lock. His career, thank God, he has a good career. He's doing well, thank God, like I said. And he has his head on the right way. But, you know, if you're in that situation and, you know, you're ticking off all of your boxes of your responsibility, your purpose, and your family, and what you need to do for yourself, your own personal growth, fine. Play all the video game you want because you've earned that position. But if not, you better reconsider how to invest your time, because you might not have any money, but your time has value. And if you invest your time correctly, that will translate into you improving your lot in life and doing better in life. Now, like I say on the show before, I was born in 1959, so I'm 65. However, I do try, I'm not a boomer, or I guess technically I am a boomer, but I don't have a boomer mentality where, I keep repeating, oh, you got to pull yourself up off your bootstraps. No, I understand how I guess you could say it was easy. There was more opportunity in the past than there is now. It's so challenging with everything that's going on right now. There's so much spells that are being cast against us, and just mind and mental manipulation that's going on. But the one advantage I have of being in that time, I could compare the past to what's going on right now, and I lived through it, I experienced it, and I see it, and I'm able to make an educated evaluation of the past to the present. And back in the 1950s, 60s, and early 70s, a man working a factory job could buy a small home and provide for his wife and two kids and take his family on vacation once a year, then actually stash away a few dollars into a savings account every month. So what happened? What happened since then? How did the good life get pulled out from under our feet? Back in the Garden of Eden, the serpent beguiled Eve to eat the forbidden fruit. Today, modern man has been beguiled by evil men meeting secretly in dark, smoky boardrooms where they plot out enslavement of mankind using fear, satanic rituals. They utilize the media, they utilize social media. Mankind has sold out their collective souls at the altar of social media consumerism and drug addiction. When was the last time you've made an effort to learn a new skill or help out a fellow human being in need? Today, the demonic entities disguised as congressmen, corporate executives, pharmaceutical executives, social media influencers are controlling every aspect of your life while whispering in your ear to dig your own grave. It's okay, you can just check out. I think Canada and a lot of countries actually have that in place, where they do assisted euthanization or whatever, where you commit suicide and they do it clinically. This is where we're at. And just as a side note, for people that are collecting Social Security, people that are a little bit older, you want to be real careful, because once you get into that medical system and, you know, the government has to pay for your medical care. I'm just going to be honest, man. My feeling, and I hear it all over the place. I've been hearing it on podcasts and people talking, where they're just basically trying to take you out. You know, they can't wait to do surgery on you or to do something, and then all of a sudden there's a, you know, some kind of accident or slip up, and you're dead. So they don't have to pay out, you know, the rest of your life, your pension or, you know, your Social Security. Look into it, man. Just be real careful with this medical system. You know, it makes a lot more sense to just take care of yourself and visit what they call a holistic type doctor. You know, naturopath, I guess it's called. They're kind of hard to find, but it makes sense to do that because, as a matter of fact, if you go to one of these type of doctors, a lot of them are practicing nurses, and they can actually write your prescriptions and a lot of the things that a regular doctor or facility can do, except they're not a big megalithic business where they're just there for profit and basically to kill people. Again, I have to be honest. You know, just look into it. Don't just take my word for it. And look around you and see how many people, especially like with older people, and I don't think it really even matters, older people, younger people, they're taking people out little by little. You know, whether that's their direct intention or it's like a side effect, just listen to the advertisements of these pharmaceutical drugs that are coming out now and listen to what the side effects are. You know, may result in, you know, instant death or pulmonary, whatever. It's craziness, man. You have to be on your toes, and you have to make sure that the things that you're eating are healthy. The food that they're giving us now is poison. You know, try to limit, you know, what you eat. Like, cut out the junk food. Start eating healthy. And, I mean, there's limits because it's expensive to eat super healthy. I know that. I know that myself because I try to eat super healthy, and it's really hard on the budget, you know. But take it into consideration that strategically this is the way that you have to move. You know, you can't just sit by idly and watch your health, deteriorate. You have to engage and be active in taking care of your mind, body, and soul, you know, feeding your soul. So that's really one of the purposes of this podcast, is I try to put this information out. Yes, I do it once a month, but this is episode 231, and every episode that I put out has value to it, where a person can listen to it and get something from it. Again, I get it from the feedback that you guys give me, and I do appreciate it. I will say one thing, though. It seems like I am kind of shadow banned in the sense of I'll talk to somebody on one platform, and they say, hey, I sent you an email to, you know, alphamaleBuddhist@gmail.com or whatever, and I'm like, I didn't get it. You know, so for anybody that's tried to reach out to me or is unable to get through to me, then, you know, I have a Telegram. I have everything in my, I'm hosted right now on Buzzsprout, so you can see my website there, my content, or whatever podcast catcher you're on. But you can go into my Telegram or into, like, if you go on Instagram, you'll see my link tree, and you can get all of my social media sites there. I'm actually on Rumble as Alpha Male Buddhist. So, yeah, I'd love to hear feedback, man. Get back to me. Let me know what you think of the show, different things that you'd like to hear. And it's like I said, it's important to really measure out the content that you're consuming, not just the food, but also the content that you're consuming. If you're in a position where you're listening to garbage podcasts, like, you know, and of course I spend time too sometimes listening to, you know, social media. There's a social media beef now between Nas and Jim Jones, and not that I'm crazy about it, but I'll sometimes sit and watch it for, you know, 10 minutes or whatever's going on. I mean, yeah, you know, it's mindless fun, you know, you can do that, but that should be 20% of, you know, what you consume. You should really be consuming stuff that's going to feed your soul, that's going to enable you to grow. You know, time is very valuable, man, and limited, especially the way the world is headed right now, you know, with this war. And I'm not even going to get into the war between that's taking place in the Middle East right now, because if you take a look at that very carefully, that war really did happen as a result of hubris and pride, where one country felt that they have the ability to just do whatever they want, and thinking the United States is going to come in and back them up, you know, automatically sacrificing our young men to die, you know, on the sword for them, when they're conducting a genocide right now, as we can see that's taking place. You guys can read between the lines, you know. So this is not a fun time right now, man. And I really do believe that we're in the end times right now, just because of everything that's taking place. It's time to get right with God, man. Crack open that Bible. Start going through, especially start going through that the Gospels and the New Testament and the Book of Daniel and the Book of Revelations, man. That lays it out all for you right there. Now, some of the topics that I get into are somewhat esoteric and kind of dark to understand. Dark in a way that it's not easy. It doesn't come to you easy. You have to put an effort to understand it. But there have been authors and writers from the past that saw this whole thing coming 100 years ago, you know, 50 years ago, and they wrote books on these topics, and those books are as relevant today as the day they were written. As a matter of fact, they're more relevant today because you can see the results, or the people projecting or forecasting the future, you can see what they predicted back 100 years ago, 50 years ago. You could see it literally taking place right now. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to kind of list to you some of the books that really have made a big difference in my life. So here's a short list of books that I feel that you should really read and grow from and commit yourself to building yourself up with. And here's a short list. And that would be the King James Version of the Bible, the Red Letter Edition. The reason I like the Red Letter Edition is Jesus' words are in red, so you can see exactly, you know, what he said, and really feeds your soul. Another book is The 48 Laws of Power by Robert Greene. Amazing book. As a matter of fact, that book is so powerful that it's forbidden to have it in prison, in jail. You cannot have that book. And it's heavy duty, that book. The next one is The Tao Te Ching. Now, I do get into some Eastern philosophy and different things like that, but you have to be very careful with all of these philosophies like Hinduism and Eastern philosophies, in that some of them get into a very gray area. So again, you have to go through them under the lens of your own belief system with relationship with your God and everything like that, because some of it is kind of tricky. You know, like with the Hermeticism, you know, the seven principles, they all sound great. However, once you take a step deeper, like as above, so below, that stuff is borderline getting into Satanism. So, back to the list. Another book I highly recommend is The Tao Te Ching, written by Lao Tzu. And it was written, I believe, 600 BC. It's an amazing book. The Book of Five Rings, Miyamoto Musashi. That book was written around 1640, I think it was, like 1640. Another book by Musashi is The Dokuto, The Way of Walking Alone, again by Musashi. The next book is A Separate Reality by Carlos Castaneda. That book may have had the most impact on my life of any book that I've ever read beside the Bible. Now, it is kind of gray, the book, because it gets into different, you know, he's a medicine doctor, a Yaqui Indian, and Sonora, Mexico, and he gets into some different things like that, which is a little on the gray side. But the philosophy embedded within those writings are pretty deep. Some of it you could take it, some of it you could leave it, but it's super interesting to read this and actually learn about the world that we live in, you know. And in another way, it makes sense looking at the world from different perspectives, because when you speak to a person that's not of the same ilk or your belief system, you can kind of relate to them more because of the fact that you broaden your scope as far as research, reading, and such. So it's important. The next book, The Art of War by Sun Tzu, that was written about 500 BC. All of these books, you can get the audio book on YouTube, okay? And if it's for the Bible, I recommend you looking up Alexander Scobie. He does the narrating and the reading of it, and he does a great job of that. You can really listen to it. The next book is an oddball book. It's called A Single Pebble by John Hershey. I think it was written in 1956. And it's a thin book. And it's funny, most of the books, like meaningful books that I've read in my life, were very thin books. And I read them because of the fact that they were so thin. I'd have to do a book report. I remember, if I'm not mistaken, I was in school and I had to do a book report, and I was going, you know, I went to the library back in the day, like the 70s, and I was looking at the books and I saw a very thin book, and it was like the Tao Te Ching, you know, really thin. And I'm like, oh, I'm going to do a report on this. And I bought it because it was so thin. Or the book Siddhartha by Hermann Hesse. Again, I picked that. Single Pebble also was a very thin book. The Dharmapada, The Words of Buddha, very thin book. And kind of synergistically, or, you know, just randomly, I picked these books, and they happen to be very, very deep books. So it's interesting, man, how I stumbled upon some of these, just whatever. So that's a, yeah. So then the next book is going to be Terence McKenna, Food of the Gods. And that was written by Terence McKenna, I think around 1992. McKenna, psychedelic author, you know, again, it's a gray area, but it's deep. The guy is a very extremely deep thinker, okay? The book 1984, written by George Orwell, and that was written in 1949. Orwell also wrote Animal Farm, which is another book I highly, highly recommend. I did an episode on Animal Farm on this podcast. I forget what episode it was. The next book is Masks of God by Joseph Campbell, written in 1959, the year I was born. And that book gets into the archetypes. Joseph Campbell is extremely, extremely deep, and he was a student, not a student, but he was a follower of Carl Jung, J-U-N-G, Carl Jung, who's also a very deep thinker. Some of their teachings, you know, I could leave it. Some of it, a lot of it I can take. But Campbell breaks it down in a really interesting way. And a fun fact behind that is the movie Star Wars, George Lucas based that whole movie, Star Wars, on Joseph Campbell's, one of Joseph Campbell's books. I think it was Masks of God, or one of those books that he wrote. And he says it. There's a little clip, there's a little interview where he says it on YouTube, where George Lucas is talking about Joseph Campbell and how it inspired him. You know, the force and the dark and the light. The next book is The Meditations by Marcus Aurelius, and I believe that was written in 161, the year 161 AD. And that's Stoicism. And Marcus Aurelius, he's known as the Philosopher King. And these writings that he did, they were for not to be published. These were him writing to himself. But what he writes down is really profound, man. He was an amazing Stoic, for those of you familiar with that philosophy. So that book is The Meditations by Marcus Aurelius. Very popular today, Stoicism. Another book is Thus Spoke Zarathustra by Friedrich Nietzsche. And I think that was written in 1883. Now, Nietzsche is a different animal. He has had a big impact on my life in the sense of when he writes, it's no BS, you know. I believe he was an atheist or something like that, but as I go back and say, you know, you can always get nuggets of wisdom and teachings from people, even though you don't agree 100% with what they believe. You might only believe, you know, either 10% of what they teach, or maybe just one statement, but if you're fed from it, you're fed from it. So this book, Thus Spoke Zarathustra, I highly recommend, especially going through the prologues, which there are 10 of them, prologues in that book, which is probably, I don't know, 20 pages long. It's not that long, but pretty amazing. Also, in that Thus Spoke Zarathustra, Nietzsche gets into the three metamorphoses of man, which man starts out kind of like hollow, like an NPC, and then he goes from that to a camel, which he journeys out and puts out effort and suffers in the desert and travels and learns. And then from the camel, he becomes the lion, which is able to face his adversary, which is the dragon, who has been telling him no his whole life. And now the lion says no to the dragon. And the minute that the lion says no to the dragon, the lion becomes a baby of new beginnings, of new starts. It's really profound. I know that some of the things that I get into, a lot of people are either not into it or kind of don't get it. But from the feedback that I get from my listeners and stuff, I know a lot of you do get it. and I get a lot of positive feedback on my recommendation. So something you want to look into. So that's Thus Spoke Zarathustra. And Nietzsche himself said that's his best book ever. The next book is called The Prince by Niccolo Machiavelli, and that was written in 1532. I did a couple of episodes on that, on The Prince, Machiavelli. And actually, I think last year I did an episode on that. Just go through my archives. Another book that's really interesting I read when I was young is Zen in the Art of Motorcycle Maintenance by Robert Persing, and that was written in 1974. Really, really good book. Very unknown, but it's about a guy that he buys this Japanese motorcycle, and how he's able to ride it, and he does the maintenance, he changes the oil and the filters, and he does it as a devotion, almost like a spiritual thing, the way he connects with the maintenance of his motorcycle. And it's a metaphor, obviously, but it's pretty amazing. And people are not aware of that. That's something you can do in your regular life. You might be doing an oil change, but you can do it in a way where you very deeply erase your mind of everything clear and just absorb yourself into this oil change of what you're doing and how you properly take the rag and wipe the dipstick. And it's a whole thing, you know, like those of you who know. So that's Zen in the Art of Motorcycle Maintenance. The next book is The War of Art by Stephen Pershing, and that was written in 2002. And this is for people that are creative. If you want to tap into, you know, your own creativity where you can create stuff and do stuff, he almost puts it in reverse where he gets into how you unpack that whole creative process. So it's I think one of the things that he does is he writes in monochrome, like he converts his monitor to just green or amber, like in the old school computers, and that's the way he writes with no distractions. It's really interesting. It's worth looking into. The next book is The Dhammapada, and that's written by Siddhartha Gautama, aka the Buddha, and that was written about 600 BC. Very thin book, but very informative, you know, very rich in the teaching. Again, I'm Christian, but I mean, you can read the Dhammapada. It's not satanic or whatever. In my perspective, it's a philosophy, a way of living, and it's all peaceful, and it's not aggressive. It's profound, man, the way it puts life into perspective. And just a quick story on that, on the Dhammapada. One of the things that hit me when I first read that book was how, I'll give a quick synopsis of the story of Buddha. He was a rich prince in what is today called Myanmar. I think it was called Burma before. Off of India, right between India and Thailand. So he was a rich prince, and his dad had everything, and he had everything he could want. And for some reason, it wasn't enough for him. It wasn't enough, and he felt... His father never let him out of the palace. He was always inside, and he could never really see what the real world was. And he just had a yearning to find out what was going on. So he went to his dad, the king or whatever, and in the palace, and he said, "Dad, you know, I want to go out. I want to see the world. What's going on? I've only seen this here." And I think he was around 16 years old. He was very young. And his dad knew that the world outside was very harsh, and you know, he knew his son was sensitive to these things. But he said to him, "Okay, you can go out, but you have to bring a valet with you, like an assistant, so you guys can go out and see what's going on." So Siddhartha Gautama, he went out with his assistant. I forget the guy's name. They get into this in the book Siddhartha, also by Hermann Hesse. He goes out, and one of the first things he sees is he sees a man plowing a field. And as the man is plowing a field, in the ground, the man plows the field and he exposes a worm in the ground. He starts squiggling around, and a bird comes down and eats the worm. And Siddhartha looked at this and said, "Wow," he felt sad that the worm was eaten by the bird. And he said, "If that man wasn't plowing that field, that worm wouldn't have lost his life." So what that is karma. Like, from what your actions, the results of what your actions are, it's karma. So he discovered that. And he continued to go along, and he saw people dying, people suffering, and it really freaked him out. He couldn't take it anymore. So finally, after a couple of months, I believe, or a year, his assistant says, "You know what, I can't help you anymore," because he was out, you know, trying to get all of these answers, and the assistant couldn't help him, and, you know, he didn't get it. So Siddhartha continued to go, And, you know, he was eating, you know, scraps of rice and whatever. He was really out there. So finally, at some point, he found a tree, and it's called the Bodai tree. And he sat under this tree for 40 days and 40 nights, just the way Jesus was in the wilderness for 40 days and 40 nights. And as he sat under this tree, I believe on day 40, all of a sudden, Mara, or the devil, presented itself to the Buddha, presented himself. He saw it, and Mara, or the devil, started shooting flaming arrows at the Buddha. And the Buddha looked up and saw Mara, or the devil, as his own shadow. Okay? So at that point, when he recognized that that was his own shadow, the flaming arrows turned to lotus petals and they fell to the ground. Then the next thing that presented itself to him, to Siddhartha, presented itself, was fear. And then the next one was greed. And just one thing after another, and he was able to conquer all of them by realizing that they were just different aspects of this reality, of this plane that we live in. And he instantly at that point became enlightened and became what's called the Buddha. And the title Buddha, it's a title, it means the awakened one, the one that has awakened. So as a result of that, he began to teach, you know, people the Dharmapada. And it's the Fourfold Path and the Eight Noble Truths. The Fourfold Path and the Eight Noble Truths. And that's the whole thing with the Dharmapada. So that's something you can look into also. Again, I'm Christian, but I mean, you know, it's good to do a little research if you speak to a Buddhist. As a matter of fact, the title of my podcast when I first started this out was Alpha Male Buddhist, and I would get into a lot of Buddhism. And at some point, you know, a couple of years ago on the podcast, I kind of dropped that and I got into Jesus, you know, into God and the Holy Bible. But that's a story for another day. So, yeah, that's that. That's a Dharmapada. The next book I recommend is the Hagakuru, and that's written by Yamamoto Tomo, I think it is, something like that. And that was written in 1716. The Hagakuru, the title means the Book of Hidden Leaves. And it was like the manual for the samurai. They would read this. And there was a movie put out by the name of Ghost Dog. And that starred Forrest Whitaker. Really, really good music. RZA, actually, from the Wu-Tang, is in that movie also. And that's a really really good book, the Hagakuru. Okay, the next one is Siddhartha, which is about Buddha, and it's written by Hermann Hesse, and it's about the life of Buddha. That was written in 1922. Hesse is a very, very deep author. Again, a very thin little book. Another book I read when I was young, it's actually good for kids, for their imagination and everything like that. It's called The Little Prince. That was written in 1943. Little Prince. The next book is Animal Farm by George Orwell, written in 1945. Animal Farm is really deep. Again, I did an episode on that if you want to go back into my episodes. It's basically exactly what's taking place right now. Another book is Lord of the Flies by William Golding, and that was written in 1954. There's a movie, Lord of the Flies, also. Really good movie. I think there was a more modern version of it, too. But the original version that I read is, I think it's from the 60s. Another book is Autobiography of Malcolm X, written in 1965, written by Malcolm X. I remember reading that back when I was around 13, 14 years old. It's a lot in there. It's a good book. Another book is Bury My Heart at Wounded Knee by Dee Brown, written in 1970, and that's about the genocide of the American Indians. And another book is Nicomachean Ethics, written by Aristotle, about 340 BC. And to round it out at the end, it's a book and a movie. It's called The Good Earth by Pearl Buck, and that was from 1931. And if you're going to watch the movie, I like the old version, the old black and white movie, I think from the 40s. The Good Earth, about a farmer in China, him and his wife, and how he started out very poor and became really rich and corrupt, and I think he ended up going back to the earth poor again and happy. But it's a very really, really, really filled with metaphor and just some really, really good teachings of life, you know. Now, sometimes you hear people say, you know, they'll talk about, oh, this is a demonic world and they're casting spells. And then a person might look and say, what, are you crazy? Everything to you is demonic and everything like that. But just take a step back and take a look and take a $1 bill out of your pocket and look at the back of that $1 bill. And you're going to see that it's filled with demonic Babylonian symbology. You know, that's hidden in plain sight. You can see a 13-step pyramid. You know, you could see the term order out of chaos. You know, our plan is successful. I mean, you go on YouTube and there's so much on that, the back of the symbology on that Masonic Babylonian symbology on the back of a $1 bill. And that, you know, that's really what's taking place right now, because money rules the world and that's who they serve. They serve demonic forces, man. And it's in plain sight right on the back of the $1 bill. And it's been there, I forget since when, 1930 or 1930. I think they did it in 1933 because they're big into numbers and numerology too. Into some dark stuff, man. And it's really all coming out to light right now. You're seeing it at the halftime shows and football and music that's taking place. And I forget whatever, there was a rapper that had put out some sneakers and he has his own blood in the sneaker, whatever they do, you know. So something to take note of. You know, you want to be aware of what's going on around you. It's, like I said, it's all hidden in plain sight. So from a self-actualized man's perspective, you're either building or destroying your reality. And I'm going to give you some examples of building. So working out at the gym, working out with weights, calisthenics, doing push-ups, pull-ups, and running, you know, resistance, isometrics, working out, you know, that's building. Discovering your purpose and path in life that will result in a better life for you, that's also building. In other words, finding out what you're good at, what you enjoy doing. Because the thing I have is the rule of three is that what is your passion in life? Are you good at your passion? And can you make money at that passion? You know, can you make money with that? If you can't make money with it, then find a different passion. Yes, you can have passions that you like, but you have one of those passions have to pay the bills. So that's one way to look at it, you know. The next thing that's building is playing sports like basketball, football, soccer, whatever it might be, but a sport that exercises your body and your mind and you get that balance going, okay? The next thing that is really considered building and that you need to be engaged in is cleaning up all the clutter in your environment, in your room, in your garage, your car, you know, whatever it might be. But cleaning up, not that you have to be super clean and, you know, antiseptic and de-germing and all that stuff like that, but just clean and organized, you know, so that way what you're in is clean and your mind is clear, you know. Clutter creates chaos, okay? Another thing that's building is caring for pets, plants, gardening, stuff like that, being in touch with nature, you know, walking barefoot on the grass, you know, and getting that whole charge from the earth, which is real stuff, man, you know. Building simple things out of wood, like a bench or a storage shelf, or building with any kind of material that you have to your capability. So many YouTube videos out there, you know, where you can go down to Home Depot and get a couple of 2x4s and just make a little bench or something, and then stain it and sand it and polyurethane it. That's another thing that you can do, okay? Another thing, aspect of building is learning self-defense, like jiu-jitsu or kickboxing, karate, boxing is a great skill. In my own opinion, the best skill that you could have out there is boxing. And the reason being is, yes, jiu-jitsu is good, and it's great to know, but I'm going to say in a real street application, it's kind of unrealistic or limited in that not everybody's going to be rolling on around the ground and stuff like that. If it's two guys, the other guy's going to get you from behind or whatever the case may be, you got to learn how to use your hands. Boxing. I remember when my son was 8 years old, I taught him how to hold up his hands, man, and how to, you know, how to keep, he's tall, so I taught him, you know, you throw the shoot the jab out, keep that distance. And it's important, man, especially for a man, young man, to learn self-defense, okay? Build up your knowledge base and on different types of subjects in life, different schools of knowledge. In other words, integrating knowledge into your psyche, into your thinking process, into your systems thinking, in that you want to learn about different disciplines so that whatever is presented in front of you, you can apply one discipline from one side and one discipline from the other side, and you'll get a solution. Because at some point, knowledge starts intersecting, and different disciplines start intersecting one to the other, just because of the nature of how everything is cyclical, you know. And those who know what I mean. Okay. So, another thing that you can do that's building, you can start your own podcast, you know. And if some listeners are out there, they want to, you know, have questions on podcasting, whatever, you know, I'll do what I can to answer your questions. I know I do occasionally get this question from different people, and I give them as much guidance as I can, because I have a no-nonsense approach. My way of doing it includes branding, includes content, includes, you know, creating your right logo, the right title for your podcast, and just different things like that. And if you use the right strategy, and if you have a message to put out there, then it's definitely a good direction to go in. Whether or not a lot of people listen to you or you go viral, that has nothing to do with it. But, you know, when you get that first email of positive feedback, it's priceless, you know? So that's another thing that you can do to grow. The other thing that you can do is taking a walk outside in nature. Or if you're in the city, you know, just walk around in the city. But you want to do it in a way where you clear your mind of all attachments, of all fears, of anything that's negative. And as you walk out, assimilate your environment around you, assimilate it into your thought process or into your understanding, you know, your perception. But do it without judgment, you know, and see the God's creation the way it actually is. You know, when you look at a tree, see it for what it actually is, which is an expression of God, or God's expression on earth. You look at a tree, a big, full, healthy, mature tree, and you put it next to an image of a pair of lungs and the whole vascular bronchioles and all that stuff like that, and they look identical. It looks exactly the same. It's crazy. It's what they call fractal. You know, again, another thing to look into is fractals. You know, fractals of nature. Another way of building is meditation and deep breath work. You know, you meditate, you still your mind. And I did an episode on meditation also. That was back a long time ago. That was maybe 3 years ago, 4 years ago. I did an episode on meditation and breath work, where you breathe. But you breathe in a... Wim Hof is a guy that gets into this real deep on YouTube. You could find Wim, W-I-M-H-O-F-F, Wim Hof. And he gets into... There's a way of doing this breathing that is really, really good for you, man. And the meditation that goes with it, okay? Another way of building is helping people inside or outside of your circle. But just make sure, when you go about helping people, that people don't try to take advantage of you. Because that's the one sad thing about this world today, the way it's structured, is that people are constantly looking to take advantage of another person. So you have to really, really be careful with that. So make sure that, you know, you're not casting your pearls before swine, okay? Another way of building is learning to find your own space in solitude, as expressed in Miyamoto Musashi's book, The Dokkodo. That's D-O-K-K-O-D-O, Dokkodo. And discover the power of solitude and silence. I did an episode on the Dokkodo. Okay, and I think it's the way of walking alone is the translation of Dokkodo. And learning the ability of finding solitude while you're in a big crowd. Okay, so that's just a couple of little things I have on building. Now, examples of destroying, because as I said before, you're either building or destroying, you know. Another way, or examples of destruction, or people that destroy themselves, basically, it's drug addiction. I don't have to say much more after that. I mean, if you're addicted to drugs, you're definitely on the wrong path, man. It's, your life is not your own. You're living a life that somebody else wrote for you. Porn addiction, that is what it is. Entertainment addiction, where you constantly have to have those dopamine drops, you know, likes or whatever. You just have to constantly be entertained. I mean, there needs to be some times where you're just sitting in stillness, you know, and reflecting, you know. Or even a couple of days, you know, you feel down or a little whatever, maybe even a little depressed, whatever. It happens. That's the cycle of life, you know. So entertainment addiction is a big one, and people don't even talk about it. Consuming garbage social media, which is kind of like entertainment addiction. Excessive video gaming. Wasting your hard-earned money on consumerism like Air Jordans and fitted basketball caps and designer clothes, you know, with symbolism on it and that geometry on it that people just can't wait to spend their money on. You know, you see all of these high-profile people. And now it was discovered that these Hermes bags that are selling for $30,000 and $35,000, Hermes contracts it out to China. China makes the bag for like $800, sends it back to Hermes in Paris. They put the label on it and sell it for $35. So it cost Hermes to have $800 to make the bag. And they sell it to you for $35,000 just because they put the Hermes logo or whatever brand name it is. Gucci, Louis Vuitton. It's retarded, man. You know? So that's another thing to get. So instead of that, wasting money on consumerism, invest in yourself, like buying a power washer and starting a small power washing business where you invest maybe, let's say, $300 into a power washer. And now you go out and make $500 a week or $300 a week, whatever it might be. In the first week, the power washer pays for itself. And then you start, you know, getting a reputation. You do somebody's driveway. You do a good job. And they recommend you to another friend. And you do theirs. And before you know it, you're hiring three guys to help you to do power washing. You know, you start cleaning yards, mowing lawns, whatever it might be, you know. Invest in yourself, you know. If not buying a power washer, buy some books or, you know, get into coding. Even coding is getting crazy now because AI is doing everything. But you want to kind of be a jack of all trades and work on your communication skills, written and verbal, your computer skills, and having an awareness of what markets are doing in the world, what's going on. Be self-aware. You know, situational awareness of what's going on around you is very, very important. You'd be amazed at how far that can get you in life, you know. And if you don't live in this way, you're just like a leaf blowing in the wind aimlessly with no direction. So in this podcast, basically, I was just trying to lay down a bunch of seeds, you know, to see which seeds take to the ground and grow and fruit and bear growth in your life, you know. So it's something that you want to consider. It's important to either read them or listen to them on YouTube, these books. I actually have a book. It's called Academy of Liberation Handbook 1 and 2. It's a PDF file. If you email me at alphamalebuddhist@gmail.com or one of my other social medias, all I need is your email. And I don't spam you. I just send a book. I reply with the attachment of the PDF file. And Academy of Liberation, it's probably about 40 or 50 pages, and it's just a real summation of kind of like what I'm talking about right now, like different directions, different angles about life. But it's nice to have it in, you know, in written form, you know. So that pretty much wraps it up for this episode. I've been going for a bit here, so I do want to thank you for listening. Praise Yeshua HaMashiach's name, merciful name. Praise Jesus Christ's name, and thank you for listening.
Welcome to the Alpha Male Buddhist from Brooklyn podcast. I'm your host, Miguel. I like to cover topics from ancient history, great leaders and generals from the past, and I also like to talk about self-realization, truth, critical thinking, and strategic spirituality. Outside the box, nonconformist. I'm here to shatter the myths of the mainstream media and the beta sheeple narrative.
I do want to thank you guys for listening. Praise Yeshua HaMashiach's name. Praise Jesus Christ's name. My link tree is Alpha Male Buddhist Pod. Links are in the show note descriptions of this episode below. There in my link tree, you will find links to my Instagram, Telegram, Rumble, Odyssey, Twitter, and my free episode archives. If you're a new listener, I have also included links to my top rated episodes. These are specific episodes of the podcast that are the most popular and listeners have given me the most positive feedback on. Some of these episodes are also in video format, so you can not only listen to the episode, but you can watch the accompanying video to that episode. Also, contact me for my free Academy of Liberation handbook, which is in PDF format, along with a free audiobook version of the handbook. So check out the show notes below of this episode for all of my content links. This podcast is hosted on the Podbean platform, so my website there is alphamalebuddhist.podbean.com.